in the limelight.
Biden's willingness to let the bankrupt and evil policy against Venezuela is a black mark on his record. This was a Trump-era policy that he inherited, so it would not have been that difficult for him to repudiate Trump's policy at the beginning of his term. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Daniel Larrison, writer. This article is published under the heading, The Cruel Farce of U.S. Regime Change Policy in Venezuela. Stay tuned for more. The Biden administration is continuing the farce that the U.S. government's regime change policy in Venezuela. Quote, the United States continues to recognize the authority of the democratically elected 2015 National Assembly as the last remaining democratic institution and Juan Guaido as Venezuela's interim president. We welcome the agreement reached to extend the authority of the National Assembly elected in 2015 and of interim President Guaido as its president. Unquote. It was a mistake to recognize Guaido when he had some fig leaf of legitimacy 3 years ago, but to continue the charade now, several years later, when he and his allies have been less influenced and understanding than they did before, is truly absurd. The chief problem with recognizing him as interim president then was that he had no effective control over the state he was supposedly leading. There was initially a belief among regime changers that defectors from the military would lend their support to the cause, but this never amounted to more than a trickle. And the few that threw in their lot with Guaido were then left high and dry by the amateurish would-be coup attempt. Since then, the opposition has only lost ground. Fewer governments recognize Guaido today than recognized him in 2019, and his approval rating in Venezuela is abysmally low. As Francisco Rodriguez points out, the interim president has no real democratic or constitutional legitimacy. Guaido's claim is tenuous both legally and politically. He has never won a national election, his term as legislator expired more than a year ago, and his poll numbers are as low as other politicians. In addition to lacking legitimacy, he also lacks power inside the country. The military remains firmly on the side of Maduro and his allies. U.S. regime change policy has utterly failed to reach its goal, but it has still managed to inflict horrifying damage on the population. Rodriguez continues, the central idea of his maximum pressure approach implemented by Trump and Biden, both through economic sanctions and by the transfer of control of Venezuelan government funds to Guaido's interim government, is that depriving the country of the funds needed to sustain its economy will bring about regime change. It hasn't, and it won't. It will simply contribute to worsening the country's humanitarian crisis, fuel animosity toward the United States regime, deepen opposition divisions, and weaken civil society. Rodriguez has authored a new study of the effects of U.S. sanctions on Venezuela's economy, and his findings make alarming reading. He says, I argue that U.S. economic sanctions toward Venezuela, which in contrast to those of other nations, block the country's access to export and financial markets, have played a crucial role in limiting the country's access to foreign exchange, contributing to collapse of 72% of the country's per capita income, the equivalent of four Great Depressions and the largest contraction ever documented in Latin America. Aggregate data showed that Oil production contracted after every U.S. decision to tighten sanctions, while detailed analysis of the evolution over time of output of oil-producing firms shows that companies with access to credit prior to sanctions suffered disproportionately from U.S. executive orders, barring access to capital markets. According to econometric estimates presented in the study, U.S. sanctions are responsible for at least half of the decline in Venezuela's oil production since 2017, depriving the country of the foreign currency revenue needed to import essential goods and sustain its economy. Rodriguez anticipates the objections of maximum pressure supporters and sets them aside, saying sanctions apologists have tried to muddy the discussion by arguing that it is Maduro and not sanctions that are to blame for Venezuela's plight. This argument is fallacious and disingenuous. No serious scholarly work have ever tried to deny that Maduro's policies contributed to the country's economic crisis. The United States regime should be seeking to design policies that do not increase suffering, instead of just arguing that it is not causing as much damage as Maduro. It is bad enough to impose broad sanctions on a country when it has been enjoying relatively good economic conditions. Putting broad sanctions on Venezuela amounted to kicking the Venezuelan people down. Biden's willingness to let this bankrupt and evil policy against Venezuela continue. It's a black mark on Biden's record. This was a Trump-era policy that he inherited, so it would not have been that difficult for him to repudiate Trump's policy at the beginning of his term. Whether because of inertia, political timidity, lack of imagination, or some combination of all three, Biden chose to keep the policy essentially unchanged. Cruel sanctions seems to be some of the only things that survive from one administration to the next. There is still time for Biden to change course, but judging from the administration's latest endorsement of Guaido, he has no intention of doing that. It falls to members of Congress, activists, and public to insist that the United States regime stop crushing the Venezuelan people with economic warfare.